Meeting is the discussion regarding the development of a supplemental water supply for Cambria, and in particular, this is the fourth workshop that will be discussing water alternatives. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for coming today. Hopefully, it'll be a short meeting so we can enjoy the rest of the day. First order of business, we do have a quorum. All five of us are here. Wonderful. Introductions. Bob Greshens. Would you like to introduce?
Certainly, Mr. President.
Am I superseding the general manager? I thought it was the presenter.
I just wanted to comment that I'd
certainly.
Like to...
Certainly.
Well, this is loud, isn't it? I'd like to thank the board.
Nice.
Just for the record, this is the ninth meeting the board's had in 13 weeks, so you guys have just really stepped up, and I really, really appreciate it and appreciate staff, and it's a lot. It's a lot of meetings in the last 13 weeks or so. Kathy brought that to my attention. So thank you, and thank you for the community members that continue to show up regularly and give us their input. And now with that, I'll turn it over to Bob if that's okay with you, and we'll do
Perfect.
Some introductions.
Perfect.
But thank you, board. Thank you, community, and thank you, staff, for working really hard on putting 13 board meetings together, or 9 board meetings of some kind of workshops in the last 13 weeks. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Good. Mr. President, members of the board, Jerry, and all you that are present here today for being here. This is our fourth workshop on this subject to help us determine, which alternatives to have the Army Corps and their consultant analyze in detail in the project level EIR, EIS. I do have a PowerPoint that will cover most of the discussion in the staff report that you have in your agenda packet. So I'll go up to the podium here in a minute and work from the podium on that PowerPoint. We do have it planned so that we'll have the presentation followed by any questions and comments, and then any additional questions on the water supply project, as well as finally the board discussion and direction to staff on which remaining alternatives to include in the analysis. So at this point, I would like to thank, again, a lot of people behind the scenes in putting this information together. There was a lot of work, of course, by Army Corps staff. Jane Grannon, in particular, has been leading the technical work by CDM Smith. There's a number of people with CDM Smith that have been working hard behind the scenes. Sava Nedic, who you met at the last workshop, or last several workshops, as well as we've had Roxy Lee helping with the webinar posting, and several others. I'm sure I'm forgetting people at this point. And then Kathy Choate, our district clerk, for putting this together. We have sent e-vites out. This meeting is televised over the internet using a system that CDM Smith had provided to us to use. If there are people logged on, they can introduce themselves at this point. We did send e-vites out to the resource agencies, as we have in the past, and it's depending on people's schedules whether they actually take us up on that log on or not, but at least people could follow along remotely if they choose to. So I'll again, as we have in the past, we won't have any staff here from Army Corps or CDM Smith. We're actually saving on some of the travel time and so forth by doing it this way. But certainly, if people want to introduce themselves, they can. We have a request, as we have in the past, to put your phone on mute and not leave it on speakerphone, because it will interrupt the speaker system here. So with that, I'll ask, is there anyone remotely who would like to introduce themselves at this point?
Well, this is Sava Nedic from CDM Smith, together with Kelly Dyer, who is running the CDP model, if you need, in live. Then Rodrigo, unfortunately, could not attend this time, but Kelly is very familiar here. Kelly did this for them.
We might try that with a little louder volume, Sava, if you don't mind. I don't know if you're away from the phone, but if you could speak a little bit louder, we'll try to turn it up on our end as well.
I can be loud.
Okay.
This is Sava Nedic with CDM Smith. I'm sitting here in Irvine office with Kelly Dyer. Kelly Dyer is our CDP model or software operator, and she's very familiar with this project. If there is a need for some additional live CDP runs, she will be able to make it.
Okay. And I believe possibly, Jane, are you there as well?
No? Bob, I'm here.
Great. Okay.
Jane's here, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to introduce themselves from Cyberland that may be logged in at this point? Okay, not hearing anything, we'll proceed then.
While you're coming to the podium, I have a couple public comments. And first one was from Laura Schwartz, and she would like her document read into the record. I'll briefly read it. With the reduction of the estimated number of acre feet to 250 needed for build-out, the CCSD water master plan needs to be updated and a few options reconsidered. I would like to see the following four alternatives studied. Seasonal storage, A, Van Gordon Dam project, B, above or below ground storage tanks. Number two, Nacimiento water supply, town or Franklin Creek routes. She's addressing the water master plan, page 80 in this case. Whale Rock, number three, Whale Rock Reservoir without Nacimiento rights, storage only, perhaps with interim trucking for phase one, phase in, thank you. Finally, scaled down brackish plan at San Simeon, portable for times needed, some storage, again, submitted by Laura Schwartz. I also have Mr. Schwartz. Would you like that read as well, or are you going to read it?
I was planning to read that possibly after the presentation.
Okay. Right on. Fine.
Okay.
Bob, you're on.
Well, great. We'll start with the presentation and be glad to answer any questions afterwards that people might have. Make sure this thing is turned on. Jesse, I might need a little help with this thing. I'd also like to thank AGP Video for all their work. Thank you, Jesse. So, okay, so the plan today is just briefly review the goal of the workshops, summarize the past workshops, provide you updated cost and rankings for the 250-acre-foot sizing. Again, provide your input to the process and then have board discussion and then close. So next slide, please. Okay, just as a reminder, the workshop goal is to provide guidance and direction to the Army Corps of Engineers on the range of alternatives to consider for subsequent detailed environmental study within a water supply project EIR, EIS. So we're laying out the basic scope of work for the Army Corps and what they're going to do in detail. They've requested four alternatives from the district to study, to consider in this report. And then it'll come out as a draft EIR, EIS. Hopefully sometime next spring, you'll see the draft for public review. And that'll follow a normal procedure at that point for environmental clearance, where people can provide both written and verbal comments, and there'll be a hearing and so forth. So there'll be much more public input on that particular document than just what we're hearing. This meeting today is focused primarily on the technical elements and how to screen out the technical projects and which ones we want to proceed forward with. Next slide, please. So just to summarize our past workshops, we had one on June 14th, which we called our workshop number one, and that had summarized the concepts by the technical team and presented draft evaluation criteria, and then we received input from you all on the criteria. Workshop number two occurred on July 19th, and we introduced you to the Criterion Decision Plus, or CDP, program. They use in that, for example, selecting between different car makes and how that's used in the decision-making process. We received public input on the weighting of the different criteria that were described in workshop number one. Workshop number three brought those two together and showed the actual ranking output under different rankings for the concepts that were developed. So you could see which ones seemed to rank 1, 2, 3, and 4, and so forth. As part of that, the board did pass a motion to go ahead and include the brackish water alternative in the EIR EIS as well as the whale rock alternatives. So those will become part of that future study. And however, the board did request more information before making a final determination on the last two alternatives to include. And that information included what would be the cost of 250 acre feet dry season capacity. There was a question on financing, whether the brackish alternative could qualify under the existing WERDA federal funding, and the answer to that has been yes by the Army Corps. That was part of my staff report that actually is not part of the presentation. So that got confirmed. And then finally, what is the CDP ranking with that revised cost? So that'll be part of today's presentation. I got ahead of myself. They added back in the San Simon CSD recycled water project, but gave it a low reliability score as it only provided 83 acre feet capacity. That was one of the earlier concepts. We used life cycle unit cost instead of equivalent annual cost to better reflect the cost per unit supplied. And these are some revisions to the ranking. And then they revised certain performance metrics based on the discussions at workshop number three. So here are the new costs that the CDM Smith and Army Corps team came up with in responding back to the 250 acre foot size. And you could see that the brackish water one is one of the lower cost ones. I'm trying to, Sava, I might need some help on this. I think that's number five, is it? Or
number five. It is alternative concept number five.
Okay, it's got a typo on the slide. I'm just spotting that. Number five is the 12.866 million number. That is the brackish water alternative. The another one that was second of that, as far as having that, well, you had San Simeon CSD recycled water. It's taking water from San Simeon CSD, treating it here for recycled water. Again, that only had the 83 acre foot capacity. The Shamel Park seawater RO, that's the subterranean concept of pulling water underneath the ocean floor and having a local seawater RO here in Cambria. That was a little under $15 million. Some of the others that were in the running there, we had the Whale Rock Reservoir without any Lake Los Nacimiento purchase of water. That was about $22 million. That's number seven on the list. And then there was a shared regional seawater RO at Morro Bay that was number three there at about 26.6 million. So this is how the cost came out. I didn't plan to spend a lot of time on this slide. I can always go back to it if people do have any specific question they want to raise on it. Next slides. Some of the criteria again were the reliability of the water source, water salinity, proven technology and integration, erosion, storm impacts, constructability and permeability, or permittability, I should say, and then environmental was all evenly ranked. This is just a reminder of where in the prior workshop the rankings were from the audience on those particular criteria, and the average is the red triangle on each of those. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because we talked about that last time. These are some of the performance metrics that went into the CDP software that CDM Smith's experts programmed, and this was described in some detail at workshop three, but these are the lower cost and how they had modeled the details of those criteria and the relative rankings of each of those criteria. And this will lead to the next slide, which shows the bar ranking of the CDP model. And the longer bars are actually a better ranking than the shorter bars. And this shows relatively in different colors how the different criteria compare. So from this, the San Simeon Creek brackish decel is the highest ranking. It has the longest bar. And you can see that the cost, the orangish kind of reddish-orange color, definitely is in its favor compared to some of the others. You know, it looks like the constructability is pretty good. As you look up and down these bars, you can kind of tell how they stack up against one another on each of these criteria. The Shamel Park decel and the Whale Rock Reservoir without Lake Nacia Mineral are real close, along with the Whale Rock Reservoir with purchasing some Lake Nacia Mineral exchange water. The Morro Bay regional decel concept is probably about number four or five. Estero Bay is right after that. The San Simeon one is after that. And the least favorable ones at this point are off-stream storage along San Simeon Creek Road and then the hard rock aquifer storage and recovery. Next one. The other iteration that the modeler did on this program was he said, let's set all these criteria equally weighted and then see how they rank. And again, they were very similar. The Whale Rock ones moved up a little bit in this case. So we have the San Simeon Creek brackish decel and then Whale Rock, the two both with and without Lake Nacimiento water, right behind that, which and these are essentially what the board selected at the August 9th workshop. And then behind that, you have the Shamel Park seawater desalination concept, the Morro Bay regional seawater concept, Estero Bay, and then the San Simeon recycled water, and then the off-stream storage, and last is the hard rock concept. And this is just a tabulation of the rankings. Using both the workshop attendee weights to show you how they ranked from 1 to 9, as well as what the CDM modeling experts saw as a pretty much the most important criteria equally weighted and how they ranked from 1 to 9. And that's pretty much our presentation. I'd be glad to go into any details on any of these particular slides that people may have questions on. But I'll pause at this point and then see what types of questions you all might have. So thank you.
Questions? Comments?
I have one. Okay. Oh,
Jim?
Okay. I'm going to try to put on my Sam Genaway hat here. Since
No.
This could turn into a disaster, I'll warn you. Okay.
Too slow.
As a personal one, thank you, Bob, for letting me ask a question. My question is regarding the San Simeon recycled water alternative, and I was wondering if you could describe where the calculation of 83 acre feet, and I assume that's per year, of available water, where that calculation came from.
Okay, and I'm going to defer to Sava Nedek, who I know is remotely connected here. Sava, did you hear that question?
Yes,
Yes, I think that is Jim's question, asking from where how would we get up with 83 acre foot per year coming from San Simeon Community Service District wastewater treatment plant. Is this correct?
Yeah.
Jim, do I understand your question?
Yes, the question was basically where did the 83 acre feet come from for the San Simeon recycled water concept?
Yeah. The existing San Simeon wastewater treatment plant runs at the capacity below 100,000 gallons per day. Out of this capacity, the San Simeon Community Services District is building their own tertiary treatment plant for 25,000 gallons per day that will be used for irrigation in the San Simeon community area. They're also planning for additional 25,000 gallons per minute, excuse me, gallons per day for tertiary effluent, to produce tertiary effluent that will be used for irrigation. What, at this point of time, I think they are in the final stage of... up to you. The remaining water after that water is used for San Simeon, we calculated and came up with 83,000 acre foot per year.
And was that summertime or was that annual amount of water?
This annual, excuse me, this is for 6 months dry weather time.
Okay. Did that answer your question, Jim? Looks like he took the net available from the San Simeon plant after they took off some for their plans locally. Oops.
I'm sorry to log in on this. My other question related to that is then what about recycled water from Cambria wastewater treatment plant? Wouldn't that also be added to the 83 acre feet?
Did you hear that question, Sava?
Yes, I heard. I think, as you know, the CCSD is disposing their secondary effluent in the San Simeon Creek Basin through this percolation pond. The capacity of the San Simeon the Cambria wastewater treatment plant is 1 million gallons per day, which is about 10 times more than the San Simeon's wastewater treatment plant. We took that water in our consideration for the alternative number 5, which is San Simeon Creek Road, brackish / or hyphen recycled water alternative. For this alternative number 5, we did water mass balance and were making the entire alternative 5 such that we'll meet all environmental requirements and provide 250 additional acre foot for water supply for the Cambria community.
Well, I think to answer Jim's question, I know in the past planning for recycled water, we had 50 acre feet that we estimated for existing potable water users that could switch over to recycled water, so there'd be no net change in what's diverted out of the groundwater basin. I remember we had another 50 acre feet that we estimated for future demands that would increase the diversion out of the groundwater basin. So we had this concept of no net increase in diversion from the aquifers by just converting existing customers over. But I would think that depending on, if you took 100,000 gallons per day of the wastewater treatment plant at San Simeon, less whatever they had planned to use locally, you'd probably have the net amount of, you know, it sounds like roughly 50,000 gallons per day. Whatever that converts over to the summertime demand or production, if that's 83 acre feet, I need to double check this and probably get back to you, but then I would think that you could probably add another 50 acre feet, depending on how we looked at the diversion from the aquifers. That would be my educated guess without having sat down with pencil and paper in hand to really give your question the level of detail it really needs. Oops, let me, hold on, let me run over.
Thank you, Mr. Sam. I have a clarification question. My memory might not be as good as it used to be, but I don't recall when we looked in detail at the San Simeon CSD recycled water option and why it's back here now. But the specific question that I have is, can this board today make a decision about using San Simeon CSD recycled water? Is there that agreement from the San Simeon CSD already? Do we have that in writing, or is that just a speculative option?
I'd say it's speculative at this point. I don't think we have anything in writing on this.
So why would it be here on a live option for possible decision by this board?
Operation, there's a lot of negotiation, discussion that have to follow that.
Of the bipartisan.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember one of the comments at Workshop 3 by Harry Farmer was basically try to stay local as much as you can. And it kind of builds into his logic that, you know, the further, the more local control you have, the less vulnerable you are to other agencies maybe either driving a hard bargain or not willing to work with you at all for some reason. So that's part of the trade-off as you start getting into some of these more distant type arrangements. Does that? Could be. Yes.
Bob, can I make some corrections for a statement that I made a minute ago?
Certainly.
I think the question was how we came up with the 83 acre foot. I have to revise my memories. 100,000 gallons per minute is current San Simeon wastewater system plant operating capacity. However, the ultimate built-out conditions is 200,000 acre-foot per day. Excuse me, 200,000 gallons per day. We use this ultimate 200,000 gallons per day as the basis for this 83 acre-foot per 6 months capacity for Cambria recycled water system. So just the correction, we have two numbers. One is current conditions is 100,000 gallons per day and future ultimate built out 200,000 gallons per day, which is used as a basis for this 83 acre foot per 6 months. After deducting 50,000 gallons per day for the San Simeon community recycled water.
Okay, thank you. I think that clarifies that. Okay, all right. Next question.
I'd like to know why, along the lines of keeping things local, we don't have the option of off-stream storage on San Simeon Creek Road. I mean, on Santa Rosa Creek Road. Included in the study.
Okay. Well, we had the San Simeon locations identified. We had a cooperating property owner in that case that...
to several of these meetings. He couldn't be here today. But he lives near the mouth of the creek there on Santa Rosa Creek Road. I mean, on Stafford overlooking. And he did some calculations, having done projects all over the world. And he said that... In 2 days' time, when we had really heavy rain that year, enough water went through the creek, went just out to the ocean in 2 days to supply Cambria for the whole year. So I was under the impression that there were also people on Santa Rosa Creek Road, because he's been interested in this project for many, many years. I think at least, well, probably over 15 years of suggesting this to the boards. And why isn't it being considered? Because apparently there are people who are interested on Santa Rosa Creek Road. It doesn't require environmental impact reports. It would benefit all the ranchers and farmers that decided to do it. And it would pump up our aquifer, and the water would be there for us.
Well, I know CDM Smith had given that some thought earlier, too, as far as the stock pond idea. I think this was raised as a stock pond idea at one point in time. And I might ask Sava to weigh in on that. I know there was a large number of stock ponds required that made operating fairly complicated. I believe you'd still have to run the water through a surface treatment plant, possibly. And I know there were some temperature concerns, but that gets beyond this technical discussion at this point. Sava, do you have anything to add on that?
Yes, I think we look for off-stream storage for both San Simeon Creek and Santa Rosa Creek. And the initial screening of the slopes of these side streams indicated that the slopes of the side streams in the San Simeon Creek watershed area is probably a lower slope than in Santa Rosa Creek, which actually is critical for economy of these concepts, because the more steep slope you have, the higher dams and reservoirs you need to have. So we decided that it's going to be more technical question that actually shows one thing for Cambria community. It shows that combined San Simeon Creek and Santa Rosa Creek have about 50,000, almost 50,000 acre foot of water running into the ocean. And the distribution of these runoff events is such that the entire flow happens within 8 to 20% of days over the year. So you have this 50,000 acre foot runoff going into ocean within between 20 and 70 days. Now, the trick is how to retain this water, and there are two possible methods that we consider. One is to have the groundwater storage in the basin. The problem with this is that the storage capacity in San Simeon Creek basin is only 500 acre foot, which is not enough to meet demand for current demand, and let alone to store for more summertime. Similar situation is in Santa Rosa Creek Basin, because we have a lot of flow, that's true. The problem is these flows are taking place in very short period of time, and the third issue is we don't have natural conditions to store that water. So that is why I think Cambria has a problem with water supply, because despite a lot of water, we still don't have enough water, because we don't have means, at least economical and environmentally and technically feasible, economical means to retain that water for longer water supply. Sorry, maybe I'm taking more time.
Question, I think on the same, if do you mind, Mahala, if I go over here? Okay, I'll come right to you next then. I think they may have the similar question.
What difference does it make whether the inflow filled is, it doesn't seem to make any difference. Plus, we have a huge reservoir area that Highway 1 bisects south of town and north of the 46 turnoff. Has that been looked into?
Okay. I don't think that's been looked into in that particular area. I'm trying to think whether we could screen something like that in the EIR, EIS process. You know, we'd have to think about that. As far as the storage goes, I think the Nacimiento Reservoir is the closest we have to trying to take advantage of the flow that's running out to the creeks and using that storage reservoir because it's pre-existing, but then you have the cost of the pipeline and the pump station and so forth that adds to that particular alternative. I know in past years when I've tried to look at different options like trying to find a flatter area maybe on top of a hill, one of the issues we have in Cambria is that the rock, the underlying rock gets closer and closer to the surface as you go up in the hills. So then you're doing rock excavation instead of sort of soil excavation, which adds to the cost of looking in some other areas. And I know, I think at workshop... I know the area you're talking about. I think it would have to have some close environmental study, which we're not doing this technical screening level, but I think it could possibly become screened out at that point in time. But you know, we can mention it to the environmental team as they pick up from here, because they're going to be summarizing numerous alternatives in their report beyond the four that they're going to look at in great detail. So, and I know in workshop three, as Sava was mentioning, some of those areas are pretty steep, so we do have the cost of tall dams, which are expensive to build, as they outlined in their cost estimate. So it seems like you have a trade-off here between picking an area in a steep...
Jean over to Brackish Water. Yes. This is for CDM engineer. What makes you think that there is a saltwater wedge? Because a local hydrologist that has had many, many years of experience in doing studies said that there is no wedge, that there's a fault that would block that. So basically, if there is no brackish water, there is no saltwater wedge, and you are pumping out pure wastewater going into the wastewater treatment plant that you'll be building, what happens with... How are you going to know? What makes you think there is a saltwater wedge is the first question. Secondly, if there isn't, then is this still going to be able to have funding from the Army Corps, because it isn't really saltwater desalination, it's wastewater.
Okay. Sava, did you hear that question okay?
The question is, how do you know that there is seawater wedge and that there is... if there is anything else but the secondary effluent. Is this the question?
Yes, essentially the thought was that some local geologists believe there's no saltwater wedge in that alluvial material in the San Simeon Creek area.
Okay. I think our work is based on factual information that are reported in a number of documents, and specifically for this question, we use the 1998 USGS geotechnical report for Santa Rosa Creek and San Simeon Creek basins. Based on this report for San Simeon Creek basin, in the area where the existing potable water wells are, the report came to the results. They were taking samples from the ground, and the on the top of closer to the surface, the sample's water salinity was very low, in a range below 500. And as they were going deeper and deeper, the salinity was increasing so that at 120 foot below the surface, salinity was in a range of a thousand of thousands, which is indication of potable water wells are the elevated salinity is in the last 10 to 20 feet to the bedrock. So this is, I think, it is a factual document, and we use this USGS report for to document this. Now, regarding the question, we have a special tool. Our hydrogeologists have special tools to assess the origins of the different water contaminants into the water. So what we are projecting here, which is not done now, is to do the use the model code that will assess density of the water below the density of the groundwater, which will be indication of origin of the water. So if you put the number of wells across the area, some of those being closer to the percolation pond, some closer to the ocean, some closer to the well field, some closer to the these lagoons, freshwater lagoons in San Simeon Creek, then you will be able to really detect how much of the water is coming from percolation pond, how much water comes from the ocean, and how much of the water is the native San Simeon Creek basin water. That is something that would be done in next phase, and that will be used to fine-tune up the concepts for San Simeon Creek road brackish water alternative if the board decides to go with this alternative.
Did you track that okay, Mahela? Basically, it sounds like the USGS report found the salinity was increasing as the depth of the sample increased, which would indicate there was some kind of a saltwater wedge that moved inland from the ocean at that point, and that the next phase of work would do more detail to determine the origin of where the water is actually coming from.
Just
thought
I'd mention that.
Okay. She had said there's going to be a lot of permitting with all those wells. Okay.
Are setting a liability there to pump 2,500 when we really only need 1,500. I was wondering, does that impact the overall need amount that we have to store anywhere through any of these systems?
Okay. That question was related to our water distribution system. We have another project, which is a replacement of a rodeo grounds pump station. And that was, okay, let me make sure. Let me turn this one on instead. Maybe you'll hear me better. Yes. Can you hear me better now? Okay. That question was related to our water distribution system as far as the replacement of a pump station we call the rodeo grounds pump station. And that was on our books for both to replace a project that or a facility that's beyond its useful life as far as its condition, as well as meeting fire flow requirements. And the 1,500 versus the 2,500 has evolved through a series of discussions with fire chiefs on what type of fire flow would the fire department be satisfied with as far as the different fire scenarios. When the modeling work was done back in 2003, roughly, there were more than one fire event occurring at the same time in the assumptions that were put in that model. The fire chief is believing that could have been overly conservative and is therefore more willing to work with a single fire event as opposed to multiple fire events. So on a separate project and a separate contract, we're looking at remodeling the distribution system with a lower fire flow rate to see how that would impact the design of that rodeo grounds pump station. Now,
does that mitigate our overall need as to the amount that we have to keep stored?
Okay.
That
could affect the distribution storage for firefighting, but for water supply, what the driver there is our future demands. And in our 2010 Urban Water Management Plan, which the board adopted back in February of this year, they adopted a water conservation goal which reduces future demand by another 5%. So in by year 2020, it's close to 105, 2004 time frame, reduces the size of the supply facility. And I talked about that some back in the, I think, our April board meeting. So that's posted on our website. And I can pull up some of those slides today if you'd like to see those. But I got into the whole issue of contingency factors back then and how the sizing might shape things. That has led to this 250-acre-foot size and why we updated our cost estimates for today's meeting. So there's two different issues at work here. There's the firefighting for the water distribution and storage on firefighting, but then there's also the long-term water supply project. So I hope I made that clear. Okay, thank you. Other questions? Yes, Jim, hold on.
Sorry to hog your time here, but on the brackish water profile that was provided to us to look at, where the hydrology of the mouth of San Simeon Creek is outlined, they indicate bedrock at below 150 feet near the mouth of the creek. And I've looked at the publicly available geophysical data that the CCSD has provided when they did, I don't know what you call it, sonic probes out in the near shore. They had a boat out there that did sonar probing of the near shore. They were looking for a paleo channel. And, of course, they wanted to do that on the beach as well. But all the results that they publish showed bedrock much closer to the surface, in fact, as high as 30 feet. And so I was wondering, what document did CDM look at to come up with the more than 150 feet to bedrock at the mouth of San Simeon Creek?
Okay. Maybe to help other people in the audience, too, we'll pull up that old PowerPoint. If Jesse, if you could pull up the, I think it was the August 9th, is that the Workshop 3 handout, or the August 9th? Yes. If you could pull up the August 9th Workshop number 3 presentation, midway down in that presentation. Okay. Well, we may have to skip that. Oh, we haven't. Oh, thank you. Let's put it on the overhead. We'll put it on the overhead, and that'll make it easier. Now bear with us for a couple of minutes, and we'll put it on the overhead projector so that people can see the question and understand it better. Sava, you probably heard that. We're going to put the slide up here in a minute. Okay, you just need to rotate that.
Also, I want to pull out some my hard copies that I
use. That's all right. That's good, Jesse. Thank you. I know you've had some discussions with one of the authors of that report back in 1988 as far as where some of your past reference data came from. Was it the same USGS report, Sava, or was it?
Hi, this is Kelly. He just stepped stepped out to go get his report.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just go by my memory and Sava's absence for a minute here. I think this came from the USGS report and through discussions with Gus Yates, who was one of the authors of that report. And as I recall, in my distant conversations with Gus Yates, they actually drilled some wells near that location right by the bridge for Highway 1, kind of between the campground and the northern abutment for the Highway 1 bridge there. And he had absolute well drill logs that showed there was quite a bit of alluvial material in that location. So my guess is, Jim, that the geophysical work that was done from boats and so forth that was during the 1990s might have hit a reflective layer because you use sound waves as opposed to actual drilling to those depths. So there could have been some inaccuracies from getting some false, you know, indication of bedrock when it could have been some other material, because geophysical type analyses aren't as accurate as actual drilled results. And I'm fairly certain that the USGS report was backed up with drilled data, actual driller logs information.
But it is valid to be revisiting these things, so we're going to check and eventually make corrections to this figure to make more better presentation of where the bedrock is here. This figure 4 shows that is in a range of 100 to 130 feet, not 150 above. So thank you for that. We are going to make this correction of this figure for future. But we don't expect any impact on the whole concept due to the fact that this is going to be about 20 to 50 feet shallower.
Did that answer your question, Jim? Okay. Are there any other questions? Yes. Hang on a second.
I don't have all the costs in front of me on the new 250-acre-foot yearly need, but did the total costs for the brackish water include a geohydrological investigation of San Simeon Creek Lagoon, like a pumping regimen that's going to need to happen to make sure that we're not pumping lagoon water? And do any of those costs also include in-stream flow studies that the Coastal Commission says we will probably need to do?
You want me to answer this, Bob?
Well, I'll try to answer it, and then you go ahead and add. I know there were both a contingency and soft project costs added to each estimate. When you're doing planning level accuracy estimates, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought we had about a 30% adder for the soft costs. Is that correct, Sava, on the estimates?
Yes, 30% contingencies and 25% on capital costs after contingencies for the soft costs that you're talking about, for surveying, geotechnical, engineering, construction management, permitting, and other administrative costs.
So you'd mentioned earlier there would be another phase on the brackish water that would obviously involve some sort of hydrogeological work. Now, as far as the issue of in-stream flow studies, I see that as an area of concern for the district, quite frankly. The district did in-stream flow studies. The way that's evolved in other areas of state is that I think it's Department of Fish and Game has a prioritized list where they add so many projects per year for in-stream flow studies. Now, the one closest to our area was the Santa Maria River, and that was about a $500,000 study. It was funded, I believe, by NOAA as opposed to the local residents. So they're very expensive studies. They take a while to complete, and in our case, we've tried to avoid any additional diversion from the aquifers, for example. But you can argue this for quite some time. And without adjudicated watersheds, you may complete a study that gives you a good snapshot of your current condition, but may not give you what it might be 20 years from now. So how far do you want to push this? I mean, do you want to do an in-stream flow study and adjudicate both basins to make sure that your baseline data stays the same? Or do you want to do an in-stream flow study with the chance that the money spent on it, the conditions could change? So that's part of what I'm just saying, what we, as we look at this situation, you know, just avoid diverting more water from the system than what your permits already have. And the district did respond back in the 92-93 era with in-stream flow study reports. So that's kind of my quick response to it. I mean, we can talk about this some more, obviously, but whether or not we have to go into that area with the brackish water alternative remains to be determined, because we have to make the EIR, EIS defensible at some point. So, you know, if it's going to be a report in the back of the EIR, EIS, I don't know at this point.
So the money's not in the figures that you have at this meeting, right?
Well, they're soft costs, and they're fairly substantial. What does the soft cost come to on that particular estimate, Sava?
How much dollars? How many dollars?
You had a...
an increase. $2,840,000 for the soft cost for Shamel Park.
No, we're talking about the brackish water alternative.
Give me a sec, and I will let you know. This is the brackish water density growth.
So that's just my opinion.
I can tell you what includes. It includes the surveying, geotechnical investigation, engineering design, and construction management, which is for this type of project goes between 10 and 14%. And then there is the permitting cost, and there is a cost of the owner of implementation of this project. It is roughly 25% total. In this case, for San Simeon Creek, is $2.89 million.
I think to properly answer this question is we put in a parking lot, and then we have to get back to you after we talk to the Chambers group, because this goal here is mainly technically driven, and your question is probably going to be more along the lines of environmental. So let's talk to the Chambers group and see whether they might cover something like this in the future. At this point, we don't even know if it's going to be the preferred alternative. So let's keep that question out there, and we'll park it for right now. Is that fair? Okay. Any other questions?
We have a couple public requests. Okay. Crosby Swartz, would you like to speak to your issue on 2D? Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Crosby, before you start, will it be this document that you're going
yes.
to refer to? Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent.
I'm Crosby Swartz. Looking at the list of alternatives that were part of the presentation today, the off-stream storage, which was item two, it kind of jumps out at you. There's a very high-cost option that probably is not feasible at all. So I have a comment here that I'll just read. I submitted it to the board, and I have a couple of things to add to it. We recommend that a cost-efficient seasonal storage alternative be included in the list of projects for EIR, EIS analysis. Previous studies documented in the CCSD Water Master Plan have shown that adequate permitted water is available from the existing wells to meet Cambria's projected annual water demand, including build-out. A more cost-efficient reservoir project might be possible. This project would involve excavating a reservoir on a level site, adding a liner to reduce leakage, and installing a pipe and a pump to supply water from the existing wells during the wet season. A suitable reservoir size would be 10 acres by 25 feet deep. And that was my written comments. Two things I want to add to that. First of all, the Van Gordon site reservoir was originally sized at a 1,000 acre feet capacity, so we might be able to get by with a smaller and less costly project. And then if the reservoir is located on a level site by excavating, that would lend itself to a phase-in, which I think we're going to be looking at on all these, because you could create a small, let's say a half size of reservoir immediately and get rolling along, and then in 10 or 15 years, if it was needed, you could add additional reservoir capacity. So it lends itself to a nice, inexpensive phase-in, which was an advantage that we should consider. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Crosby. Very good. One last one was Mahalia Burton.
Mahalia Burton, Cambria. This is also on in-stream flow studies. Coastal Commission is the gatekeeper, and it's very clear, it's in the local coastal program, that a in-stream flow study will be required for any major public works project to support new development within the Cambria Service District. And this in-stream flow study will determine whether or not we will be cutting down the amount of water that we are withdrawing from the creeks. If we have a new water supply project, it doesn't mean that we're going to keep the two creeks with the same amount of water so that we can have the new supply and the current supply. And this is not going to go away. I did a little research on my own and talked to Bob about this earlier. Fish and Game has a complete, and also the Coastal Commission is going to require that this in-stream flow study goes through Fish and Game. It isn't going to be something that why we think that we should be put on that priority list, and then there would be grants, probably. We wouldn't have to pay for it. But it needs to be started now because this is going to take over a year. The Big Sur in-stream flow program has taken 5 years. You can start it now. No point in getting a project ready to go when you're going to have to step back and do this. I can show you the documents. It's in the local coastal program. Just go to that document, word search in-stream flow, and it'll pop out. I'm not making this up. The gatekeeper says what has to be done, and so we should just do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob, also, thank you very much. That was extremely well done, and I'm sure Sam is very proud.
Thank you.
With that, we are back to number E, which is back to the board for discussion. Go for it, board.
I have one technical question, and then I want to talk about the purpose I think we're here for is to decide what items should be studied.
Two more.
Okay. One quick technical question. When I looked at the breakouts on dollar cost things, it looked like on the San Simeon Creek road alternate about $4.5 million for the reverse osmosis system. And when I looked at every one of the other desal types of ones, about the same number came up when you talk about the reverse osmosis system. Technically, I would like to ask the question, if every one of the other desal options are using the exact same reverse osmosis system and then direct injection into the pump, into the water system, why at the brackish water one do you require all of this extra percolation again and extra cost? It seems to me that three of the desal options are put it through reverse osmosis and put it into the system. And this one on San Simeon, it says take brackish water basically out of salt water, but then have to put it back in the ground and let it trickle along for 2 or 3 months and all this extra costs. And that's just a technical question. Why?
Okay. I think I'll divert that question over to CDM Smith, if you don't.
Because we don't know how CDPH, California Department of Public Health, will permit this facility. Before, we already discussed that we are extracting the water from the basin very close to percolation ponds, and there is a probability that it will have a component that is actually percolated secondary effluent. And so we, in our consideration at this funding level, we have took the most conservative approach that will, the CDPH will require a certain number of credits for each of the steps that you are taking in producing good potable water quality. So that for this kind of projects, if it is recycled water that will be used for potable water, indirect or direct potable water supply, need to receive certain number of credits. And they require for this kind of application up to 12 credits. Out of these 12 credits, you have about 2 credits for microfiltration. You have four credits for RO. You have additional 4 credits for advanced oxidation process that will destroy any contaminant of emerging concerns, such as possible pharmaceuticals, hormones, and so on and so forth. And then, with this process, we are meeting 12 credits. So that we are producing the water quality that can be used for direct water supply. However, we are, at this level, we are proposing to recharge this water in the ground and to provide 2 months residential time in ground, which will give 2 additional credits for CDPH. So overall, the concept that you see here with recharge is public concerns.
Don't ask an
that
engineer.
People will have want to have some security with respect that the component that comes from the secondary effluent will be properly treated, so that their public perception will be more acceptable for this project.
Okay, thank you. all right. Based on that, and that's fine. That's enough of an answer. I understand the answer. I understand that it's possible we might not have those extra costs depending on what the water test comes out on the thing. But it seemed to me today we were here to say what items should be reviewed for environmental conditions. And it seems to me that when we're given the charge of doing what is the reasonable alternatives, we've been presented alternatives, 1, 2, 3, at least 3 different, 4 different desal proposals, and then some other proposals. And so I'm suggesting, and I agree with what the board did previously, to take the San Simon Creek brackish desal as the desal proposal that we would be asking them to review, because they have said it's a desal proposal. And again, I would agree with what the board previously did with the Whale Rock Reservoir, because that's a water transfer alternative. And so we get an EIR that talks about desal, we get an EIR that evaluates water transfer, and then I would go to the San Simeon off-creek storage, because that's an off-creek storage alternative, And I would also go to the San Simeon CSD recycled water, because that's a recycled water alternative. And my concept here is that we get an EIR that gives us reasonable ranges of alternatives so that we can make a decision later on, and at that point in time we can talk about some of the costs and some of these other things that might be involved. But at least it gives us, rather than comparing four desal plants against each other, we got four alternatives that are true alternatives. Anyhow, that's my position.
I just had a question, and this goes probably, and my question is, what do you wind up having to start with, and what do you wind up at the end when you're doing these three steps? Do you follow where I'm coming from, Sava?
I think I understand. Your question is, we are pumping water from ground with certain level of salt, then we separate salt and have good product water we use as a potable water, and then it's
so you
we charge again. So if you look a little more carefully in the description of the San Simeon Creek Road alternative, brackish water alternative, we are injecting these 6,000. Okay, let me do some numbers. Let me back up with some numbers. The water that we are going to pump out from the ground, we expect to have salinity between 1,000 and 2,000 milligrams per liter. The objective is to have 500 and less.
Right.
In the potable water. So we're going to have 1,500 milligrams per liter concentrated in brine. And now how much we're going to be a yield depends on the other constituents. One of those is silica concentration, which is limiting our recovery. But we're assuming here that we'll be 85% recovery, so the concentration factor will be between 5 and 7. So we're coming about this brine salinity concentration in a range of 6,000 milligrams per liter. Now, we are proposing this brine to be injected in the seawater wedge, very close to the ocean, next to the PCH highway. And that, now you have a situation that we are using this saline water at 6,000 milligrams per liter to oppose to the seawater wedge, which has 32 to 34,000 milligrams per liter. And that is what that is why we push that water closer to the ocean, that will have minimum or no impact on the which is going to be far away from this percolation pond area. And then during the wet weather conditions, when the flow comes from the San Simeon Creek, when it refills the basin with fresh water will push back the seawater wedge. And then every year you're going to have cycle that's going like this with not substantially compounding the concentration of salt from the water that is pumped for the treatment.
I'm seeing a confused look, and what I would like to do, if the board's okay with this, is to put the overhead back on that shows that cross section and kind of point out what I think relates to your question, and try to give a real quick kind of overview. But I believe the original question was, you know, you're going to have so much water at the RO process that's going to be rejected as salt, and a certain amount that's going to be your product water. So there's going to be a percentage that is lost as that brine reject water.
Exactly. And then you're going to have
some more loss, possibly
when
from
it goes in the basin,
putting the water in the percolation area, and what might, say, go past the wells, for example,
exactly,
on its way to the ocean. So you're the overall gist of this question is, in maybe
efficiency
in rough terms,
is efficiency.
Would we get 100% of the water back that we we pull out with that withdrawal well, or would it be some lesser percentage,
of course,
that you may end up with, because you're going to lose some to the brine reject water and some that percolates into the basin and maybe goes past the withdrawal wells somehow through the route that it takes back to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I can put that overhead on if you want to give me a minute. I'll go back there so people can see what we're talking about. If you prefer to save time, we can skip that step.
How about without the overhead? Can you just say 20%? What was the figure?
Okay.
What is the percentage?
Is there an educated guess at this point? An engineering intuitive best guess as far as whether you think that might be 90%, 80%, 70%?
You're going to lose 15 in the process. He's already said that. You're going to lose 15 old stuff everywhere.
Well, let's from rephrasing the question and maybe try to simplify the answer, Sava, did that, without getting into concentrations and so forth, can you give the board a rough idea of what you think the percent water would be that you would pull out of the ground that you'd actually have as additional produced water?
Potable water.
Actually, I have very detailed flow mass balance, and if you give me a sec to pull out from my files for this, just give me a second. My apologies, I think I've been drowned. Design costing.
And while Sava's looking at that, I just could say that, you know, if we can't find the answer to the question, we can always report it at your next board meeting. If I don't want to put Sava on the spot if it's something that he has to look up, but it is an alternative that's already been selected by the board at the last meeting, so we can cover that detail unless you think it's going to sway the outcome for the remaining two alternatives today. I mean,
I think if I understand, the concern of the director is that we will compound the salinity of the water that we're pumping for the desalination. Is this concern?
I don't think it's a question that needs to be answered at this time.
Why don't we do this, Sava?
We'll come back to
the board with a clarification at the next meeting, and that'll give Sava and I a chance to talk, you know, some sidebar conversations to make sure we understand your question and we get back to you the right technical information.
Fine.
So, okay.
Fine. Director Robinette.
Thank you. I have just a couple of questions, and that is, if this were going to be the alternative, and I'm still defining that, I'm defining that as not a supplement, but something that we would need on occasion. We've talked about if it were a sustained drought, or if it were an earthquake and our water system was down. If we had the brackish water desal, I've heard some discussion today.
Did that answer your question?
It's instant. You could have purified water. I mean,
no, not under the system they're proposing. It's 2 months travel.
2 months is what I heard. That's a long time when you're in a crisis.
But this is a matter of planning, so you start early to have these 2 months, 2 months time recharging the ground.
Okay. Another question. This discussion that came from the audience, which, by the way, I think, again, had great questions, great discussion. This wedge that was discussed, and how do we know it's really where it is? I don't have any idea. Does a wedge ever shift? Do they move?
They do, seasonally in particular. When you get flow through the alluvial material in the winter when there's that flow going out to the ocean, you can push that wedge basically out to sea. I mean, it's going to be mostly fresh water on the inland area when you have a lot of flow going out to the ocean from runoff, and then it'll typically migrate inland during the dry season. So it'll be furthest inland at, you know, later in the summer months before you get the seasonal rain. So it does move seasonally in and out.
So it's just on a kind of a stream-like thing. It doesn't move away from where your wells or your desal would be located?
Well, it'll be, and then I may have to ask Sava on this one as well, but it's in his illustration, that cross-sectional illustration, it's kind of a curved area, and it tapers off almost exponentially. It gets thinner and thinner as it goes further inland, so it's got a unique shape to it, and again, that'll shift more inland in the dry summer season after the runoff subsides from the seasonal rains that we get, and it'll be deep because of its density, salt water being heavier than fresh water. The fresh water tends to flow on top of this wedge, which causes it to have its unique shape. So it's a bit of an art and a science for the hydrogeologist to determine, you know, its precise location. That's kind of off the cuff for me.
Okay.
Sava, did you want to add anything to that, or is that?
Yeah, you asked a question. Well, the only thing I think we have to tell that there is the methodology that allows us to define the where the location of the wedge is and how to make migrate.
Mr. Cliff's 2-minute summarization of the way to go on here really makes a lot of sense. I think we've already selected two options: the brackish desal and well rock, and I think it makes perfect sense to select two other options and let them take a look at it and give us an EIR on the options on all four of them, the recycled and the off-stream. I did have a question about the San Simeon. Is that the same program that we saw in May whereby they got a unit for about $200,000 that will be used to irrigate the hotels on in town there? Is that the same device that we're thinking about here?
San Simeon?
It is reverse osmosis systems are the same whether they're in a trailer or in a shed or whatever the thing is. Depends on size and the extra add-ons that you put onto it. But it's basically the same concept.
And it's fairly portable, and obviously if they can use that for their hotels, it might be something that we could also bring into Moonstone Beach Drive here for irrigation and for laundry and so forth. That would free up potable water and for other areas of the community. Is that kind of the concept there?
Theoretically, you could do it, but probably you're talking here a fixed location on that one out there for the water supply.
I'd like to weigh in.
Director, go ahead. I just wanted to say that
I agree with Mr. Cliff. I think it's brilliant. We have brackish desal. We're already going whale rock. And to have San Simeon recycle and off-stream storage, to have those be the environmental impact report studied, that even if we don't move forward with anything, at least we get good value for this effort, and we should move forward as quickly as possible. I do have one question, though. Mr. Cliff
yeah.
wasn't here at the end of last meeting, and I heard from another source that you thought that Nacimiento with whale rock and Nacimiento without whale rock were two different projects.
From the that, I think, you know, I as a representative of the technical team, also, our goal is to make sure this becomes a Cambria project. I mean, we don't want to go off and work in isolation and come out with a draft EIR, EIS, and people are going to say, where did this come from?
Sure.
So I think all these series of workshops have been excellent. Your input's been excellent. The community's has been excellent. I mean, So with that, we can proceed. I think you know, there's a little frustration probably I have on some of the past efforts that didn't go forward. But you know, we're willing to. I think the technical team, you know, wants to provide you with a good work product. So I understand your logic. It makes sense to us, and I think we can go forward from there develop, you know, detailed EIR, EIS analysis. There will be some major questions coming up on funding that I think I reminded you in past staff reports at the regular board meetings, as far as if the preferred alternative does become something that's not deemed to be desalination, we'll have to either go back to Congress and work through a word of bill amendment somehow and try to get that language changed so that we can still get federal funding for something that's not desalination. Otherwise, we might get to a point if where the work will stop because the funding authorization doesn't allow for that. So that's probably the biggest caveat I have in you know, having a broad range of alternatives is, you know, the funding concern. But
well, let's
but
spend as much soft cost as we can, yeah. and then when it comes to the hard cost, we'll.
But that's fund it sort of outside the discussion we have on technically, you know, which alternatives to put into the EIR, EIS. So I think we're appreciative we have the direction now that we need, and if, you know, assuming you'll do some kind of a motion at this point.
Or, motion is on the table.
However you,
the motion was on the table.
Any further discussion?
Can we hear the motion again?
Okay, the motion is that we study San Simon Creek brackish desal, Whale Rock Reservoir without Nacimiento, San Simeon CSD recycled water, and San Simeon Creek off-stream storage.
Okay.
And I believe it was seconded by Mr. Clark.
Yep. Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. And we've met our objective for the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for attending. Meeting adjourned.